Oh, some thoughts for next year, as they say. If 2016 has been about political shocks, it seems unlikely that 2017 will be much different, at least not from financial markets perspectives. We have a lot of major elections due in Europe. We certainly know already that there will be elections in France, in the Netherlands, where you're likely to get a right-wing government, and indeed in Germany, where Mrs. Merkel is likely to be re-elected. There's a very strong possibility of elections in Italy sometime in the middle of the year, and indeed, quite possibly in Greece if things continue to deteriorate in their relationship with their creditors. These will probably create a lot of market volatility, but whether they'll actually deliver the same sort of level of surprise or shock that the British Brexit referendum decision and indeed Mr. Trump's election did, probably not. In fact, it may be those two latter events in political terms which actually have much greater impact. So the big question really in the US is, we've traded up financial markets, particularly equity markets, and indeed the long end of bond markets, on the idea of the Trumpflation trade, of the big boost to growth. Can Mr. Trump deliver, or will he fall at the first hurdle? For instance, his rather controversial nomination of Mr. Tillerson as Energy Secretary could, in fact, prove to be one of those ones which gets rejected. And at that point, will financial markets actually have to rethink their strategies? Next big question obviously relates to another big theme of this year, and that's the rally in oil prices. Next year will be, for the first 6 months, about monitoring OPEC's progress in actually complying with the cuts that they've agreed. And this is important above all from the aspect that if oil prices remain where they are, then it seems fairly likely that inflation rates in the G7 countries, which have been very suboptimal outside of the US, start to move back towards target. And then the question is whether that's going to be a transient lift and whether core inflation measures actually prove to be continue to lag or not. So that will also form a lot of a key focal point for markets. The other part will be whether we actually start to see any shifts outside of the US in terms of interest rates. This is particularly the other countries like Canada, like the UK, like the Eurozone, and less likely Japan. At the moment, they're all seem to be committed to not raising rates next year. However, if we were to see a step up in inflation, then that may change. For the UK, I think the key aspect for next year is we'll actually start to see some revelation of what the post-Brexit landscape looks like. Imminently, the first big hurdle is going to be what the Supreme Court rules on the Article 50 triggering process is going to be. But thereafter, there should be a period where we start to see how the UK's relationship, both with the EU and indeed in broader terms, in terms of trade agreements with other countries, is going to evolve. And that is a very tricky process to try and second guess. But it will certainly be one key aspect for the UK economy. The other one, which is going to be actually very important, is not only the fact that with inflation ticking up and according to the Bank of England, likely to reach 2%, we're going to need to see wages hold up at current levels if we're not going to go into negative areas again. And this, on the other hand, is also needs to be balanced against the fact while interest rates may be low, we do have a problem in the UK, certainly with the pace of consumer credit growth. It simply cannot increase at the sort of current 10% level if things are going to actually be on a sustainable basis, and therefore we might see some drag from consumer spending as we go forward. In the EM area, I think the key aspect is how much pressure is going to be exercised, first of all, on those countries which have dollar pegs, so particularly those ones in the Gulf area of the GCC countries. And on indeed, on the other hand, those countries with very large exposure to dollar debt, which will be getting more and more expensive to refinance from the perspective of their own currencies. And specifically, we will be looking at how China manages this transition, given that it has such a high level of non-performing loans, both domestically and indeed some of them are international. And that managing that process is going to be very, very important.